Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts. Here's Daniel's prompt.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So as you both know, I'm a big fan of desktop computers. I have a desktop. I'm actually on my second desktop here since I moved to Israel. It's a really excellent build, and it's a great process here we have in Israel in which you go to your computer store, you tell the guy what you want. And instead of buying something off the shelf, they suggest hardware that kind of fits your budget. So my computing needs have evolved over the years. The first one that I built was just kind of just to have a computer, basically. And my second build, which was 2 years ago, was the first time that I bought it thinking, okay, this is something I actually want to make sure is a really good computer. And it's not deprecated. And so I went for 64 gigabytes of RAM, an AMD GPU. Decision has come back to haunt me in that respect, but it's pretty good. And I then kind of wondered, wait, do I have a workstation? So I've always wondered when you go on to as desktop usage has maybe declined and become more specialized, maybe workstations have become more prominent. And I always wondered, hang on a second, what's the difference between a desktop and a workstation? Is it just a marketing term, or is there really something there? If you begin sort of looking into that, you'll see that there is really no kind of hard and fast rule as to what's a workstation and what's a desktop. But you do see when you're looking at specialist providers, you do see things like the Intel Xeon series of CPU that you just don't hear much about outside of that specialized context. So my question is, workstations, and we'll talk about mainframes another day, because that's another interesting topic, another interesting, very specialized class of computer. But true bona fide workstations, if you don't consider my one to be a real workstation, but the real workhorses where we're talking about even things like multiple GPUs, redundant PSUs, talking very serious applications here. What is typical in that kind of hardware? What are we talking about in terms of the motherboards, the RAM size today in 2026, the VRAM? What are the kind of specs that we'd kind of call the workstation class of computers today, and what are the applications, and who are the typical users who are keeping this segment of the hardware market alive?
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. We are coming to you from a somewhat chilly Jerusalem today, but the coffee is hot and the hardware talk is about to get even hotter. I am Korn, and sitting across from me is the man who probably dreams in binary code.
That is Herman Poppleberry to you. And yes, the binary dreams are a side effect of reading data sheets before bed. It is good to be here, Korn.
So, our housemate Daniel sent over an audio prompt today that really hits home for us. He has been tinkering with his own desktop setup, recently upgrading to 64 gigabytes of RAM, but he is starting to wonder if he has crossed the threshold into workstation territory. He wants to know what actually defines a workstation in 2026. Is it just a fancy name manufacturers use to charge an extra $1,000, or is there something fundamentally different under the hood?
It is a great question, because the line has definitely blurred over the last few years. We have high-end consumer chips now that would have put supercomputers to shame a decade ago. But Daniel is right to suspect there is more to it. A workstation is not just a fast computer. It is a specific class of machine designed for a different kind of reliability and throughput.
Right, and I think that is where we should start. When most people think of a fast computer, they think of gaming. They think of high frame rates and quick load times. But when we talk about a workstation, we are talking about sustained, heavy-duty workloads. We are talking about a machine that might run at 100% CPU and GPU utilization for 3 weeks straight without a single error.
Exactly, and that reliability starts at the very foundation of the system, the motherboard and the chipset. In 2026, if you are looking at a true workstation, you are likely looking at platforms like the AMD Threadripper Pro or the Intel Xeon W series. These are not just bigger versions of the chips in your laptop. The architecture of the motherboards themselves is built for massive input and output. The architecture of the motherboards themselves is built for massive input and output.
Let us talk about those motherboards for a second. One thing Daniel mentioned was wondering about the specifications. On a standard high-end desktop, you might have 20 or maybe 28 lanes of peripheral component interconnect express, or PCIe. That is plenty for a graphics card and a couple of fast drives. But a workstation?
Oh, it is a whole different world. On a modern workstation motherboard, you are looking at up to 128 lanes of PCIe Gen 5 or even Gen 6. Why do you need that? Well, if you are a data scientist or a high-end visual effects artist, you might have four double-slot graphics cards in a single machine. You might have a dedicated RAID controller with eight solid-state drives. You might have a NIDIA Gigabit network card. A standard consumer motherboard would choke on that much data. It does not have the physical or
And that leads into the memory, which I know is something Daniel was curious about. He has 64 gigabytes, which feels like a lot for a regular user. But in the workstation world, we are not just talking about capacity. We are talking about error correction code memory, or ECC.
This is one of those things most people do not realize is a major differentiator. Standard RAM is fast, but it is susceptible to bit flips. A random cosmic ray or a tiny bit of electromagnetic interference can flip a 1 to a 0. In a video game, that might cause a tiny glitch or a crash. You restart and you are fine. But if you are running a complex climate simulation or training a local large language model for a week, a single bit flip can corrupt your entire dataset.
So ECC memory actually detects and fixes those errors on the fly, and the motherboards have to support that. But let us talk about the scale. In 2026, what are we seeing for capacity?
For a serious workstation today, 128 gigabytes is really the starting point. It is common to see machines with 512 gigabytes, 1 terabyte, or even 2 terabytes of system memory. And it is not just the amount, it is the channels. A standard desktop has dual-channel memory. A workstation has octa-channel memory. At workstation has octa-channel memory. At workstation has octa-channel memory. That means the processor has 8 separate lanes to talk to the end.
And it sets. It is fascinating because it feels like the hardware is evolving to keep up with these massive local AI tasks. We discussed the model context protocol back in episode 264 and how much data these models need to juggle. If you are running those locally, you need that massive memory pool.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the most expensive part of the whole equation, the video RAM, or VRAM. Daniel mentioned his AMD GPU, and while AMD makes great hardware, the professional workstation market in 2026 is still very much dominated by specialized cards like the NVIDIA RTX 80 generation or the AMD Radeon Pro series.
And the VRAM on those cards is on another level. I was looking at some specs the other day for the top tier workstation cards. We are seeing 48, 96, or even more gigabytes of VRAM on a single card. Compare that to a high-end gaming card, which might have 16 or 24.
And why does that matter? It is all about the size of the model or the scene you can fit into the graphics card's memory. If you are an architect working on a digital twin of an entire city block, or a researcher training a neural network with billions of parameters, you cannot afford to have that data swapping back and forth to the slower system RAM. It has to stay on the GPU.
It is also about the drivers, right? I remember you telling me that professional cards have different software support than gaming cards.
Yes, that is a huge part of the workstation class. It is called ISV certification, which stands for Independent Software Vendor. Companies like Autodesk, Adobe, and Dassault Systèmes work directly with the hardware manufacturers to ensure that their software runs perfectly on those specific workstation drivers. If you are a structural engineer and your software crashes during a stress test calculation, you need to know it is not a driver bug. You are paying for that peace of mind and that direct support line.
It is definitely a different ecosystem. It is less about how fast can this go and more about how reliably can this perform at scale. But before we get deeper into the specific users and applications, let us take a quick break for our sponsors.
Are you feeling disconnected? Does your physical body feel like it is lagging behind your digital life? You need the Bio-Digital Osmosis Patch from NeuroSync Labs. Simply apply this transparent adhesive patch to your temple before you start your workday. Our proprietary micro-needle technology creates a low-latency bridge between your neural pathways and your computer's operating system. Users report feeling like their mouse cursor is an extension of their own soul. Side effects are minimal and may include a temporary inability to growl. Yellow aisles for Sikai Quada off for Taut.
Every time Korn. Every time I think Larry cannot get any weirder, he manages to surprise me. Neural bridges and Sumerian agriculture?
I mean, if it helps with the lag, I might be tempted. But anyway, back to the world of workstations. We have talked about the what, the massive PCIe lanes, the ECC memory, the specialized VRAM. Now I want to dig into the who are the people actually driving this market in 2026, because it is not just people who want a fast computer.
No, it is much more specific than that. One of the biggest drivers right now is the local AI movement. We have seen a massive shift away from the cloud for sensitive work. Companies and researchers realized that sending their proprietary data to a third-party cloud provider for AI processing was a security nightmare. So they are investing in on-prem workstations.
Right. So these are the people training small, specialized models. Maybe a law firm training an AI on their own past cases, or a medical research team using it to analyze genomic data.
Exactly. Those people need the 96 gigabytes of VRAM we talked about. They need the 96 core CPUs. They are not just using the computer. They are using it as a specialized tool for discovery. Then you have the high-end visualization market. Think about the people making the visual effects for the movies we see, or the real-time architectural renderings that allow clients to walk through a building before a single brick is laid.
I think there is also a fascinating second-order effect here. Because these workstations are so powerful, they are enabling new kinds of work. We talked about impact accounting in episode 266. Calculating the true environmental and social impact of a global supply chain requires processing billions of data points in real time. You cannot do that on a standard desktop. You need a workstation plus machines and databases.
That is a great point. And let us not forget the scientific community. Molecular modeling, fluid dynamics, climate forecasting. These fields have always used supercomputers, but the workstation has brought that level of power to the individual researcher's desk. You can run a simulation of how a new drug interacts with a protein right there in your office, iterate on it, and run it again. That speed of iteration is what drives innovation.
One thing I want to circle back to, because Daniel mentioned it, is the cost. If you are building a workstation in 2026, you are not just looking at a few hundred dollars more. A fully kitted out workstation can easily cost $10,000, $20,000, or even $50,000.
It sounds insane to a casual user, but if you are a professional where every hour of downtime costs the company thousands of dollars, or every hour saved in rendering time means you can take on more clients, the machine pays for itself very quickly. It is an investment in a tool like a surgeon's scalpel or a high-end CNC machine.
There is also the prosumer segment, which I think is where Daniel might be landing. These are people who do professional level work, but perhaps do not have the budget of a major studio. They are looking for that middle ground. Maybe they do not need a Xeon with 2 terabytes of RAM, but they definitely need more than a standard gaming rig.
And that is where the high-end desktop, or HED market, used to live. It is a bit of a weird spot right now. Manufacturers have been pushing the mainstream chips so hard that the gap has narrowed in terms of raw speed. But again, it goes back to those features. If you need the PCIe lanes for multiple fast drives, or if you need the ECC memory for stability, you have to make the jump to the motherboard architecture.
It is like trying to put a semi-truck engine into a sedan. You can make it fit, and it will be fast, but the frame of the car is not built to haul 50 tons of freight. You need the whole truck.
That is actually a perfect analogy, Korn. A workstation is the semi-truck of the computing world. It is built for the long haul, it is built to carry massive loads, and it is built to be serviced and maintained over a long lifespan. Most workstation cases are designed for easy access with hot swappable bays and modular power supplies.
Speaking of power supplies, that is another thing people overlook. A standard desktop might have a 750-watt power supply. A workstation with multiple GPUs, you are looking at 1600 watts or even 2000 watts. You might even need a dedicated 20-amp circuit in your wall just to plug the thing in.
Oh, absolutely. I have seen setups where they had to call an electrician before they could even turn the computer on, and the cooling. You are generating a massive amount of heat. Workstations often use very high static pressure fans or sophisticated liquid cooling loops that are built for 24/7 operation. They are louder than your average PC, but they are incredibly effective.
It is funny how we have gone from computers taking up entire rooms to these incredibly dense boxes under our desks that are arguably more powerful than the mainframes of the past. Daniel mentioned he wanted to talk about mainframes another day, and I think we should definitely hold him to that. But for now, the workstation is really the king of the personal computing world.
It really is. It is the ultimate expression of what silicon and copper can do when you stop worrying about the price tag and start worrying about the possibilities.
So, to summarize for Daniel and everyone else wondering, if your work involves mission-critical stability, if you are working with datasets that exceed 32 or 64 gigabytes, or if you need more than one or two high-speed expansion cards, you are looking at a workstation. It is defined by its architecture, its reliability, and its ability to handle sustained, massive throughput.
And if you are just playing games and doing some light video editing, stick with the desktop. Your wallet will thank you, and you honestly will not see the benefit of all those extra PCIe lanes and ECC bits.
That is a fair assessment. Well, this has been a deep dive into some serious iron. I hope that helps clear things up for you, Daniel. It is always fun to look at what the top 1% of hardware looks like.
Definitely. It gives us a glimpse of what might be on our mainstream desktops 5 or 10 years from now.
Exactly. Well, if you have been enjoying our deep dives into the weird and wonderful world of technology, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your favorite podcast app or over on Spotify. It genuinely helps the show grow and helps other curious minds find us.
It really does. And don't forget to check out our website at myweirdprompts.com. You can find our full archive there, including episode 160, where we talked about the distinction between instructional and conversational AI, which feels very relevant to how people are using these workstations today.
Good call, Herman. You can also find our contact form there if you want to send us a prompt, like Daniel did. We love hearing what is on your mind.
This has been My Weird Prompts. I am Herman Poppleberry.
And I am Korn. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next one.
Until next time.
Stay curious, everyone.
BUI Now. This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.